Karen Gomeo, welcome back to Sunday Night at the TSO.
Thank you so much for having me again.
And it's wonderful that you're returning to Toronto to play with the TSO. Last time we spoke was 2 or 3 years ago. You were coming to play Mozart, if I remember correctly.
Yes, that is correct.
And it's quite a different bit of repertoire that you're bringing this time around. Astor Piazzolla's The Four Seasons of Buenos Aires. And I want to talk to you because we did touch on this in our last conversation, but your love of tango. How did this begin? What first lit the fire for you?
It was actually my mother, funny enough. So I grew up with my mom back in Montreal. She always loved the jazz piano. So before I was born, she lived in Paris, and I think she had always gone to jazz clubs, maybe even also back in Tokyo where she's from. When we were living in Montreal, she was invited out to a performance at a bar or a jazz club or something like that. She said it was smoky and everybody was talking and nobody was really listening, but she was so captivated by the music that was going on. And once the show was over, she went up to the man who was leading the group and she even exchanged a few words with him saying, you know, thank you so much for the music. I'm sorry nobody was listening, but we were really listening. My friends and I were listening to you. But she couldn't remember his name. And many years later, she was walking by a record store and saw some CDs on which there was a face of a man that she recognized. And that was that man. And that was Astor Piazzolla.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So my mom had accidentally watched and heard him play live in this smoky bar in Montreal. So when she remembered his name and saw those CDs, she bought a few of them and came home. I was probably about 14 by then. And she came home and said, oh, this is the man. This is the man I heard all these years ago. I was trying to remember his name, but this is the guy. You must listen to him because I bet you will love his music. And she was absolutely right. I fell in love instantly with his music and kind of became a bit of a fanatic. And then I had my own miraculous little story connected directly to Piazzolla, which was, many years after that, I was invited to play a concert at a series in New York that I had always participated in, but they were putting on a special program of tango music. And as soon as they said there was some Piazzolla music in there, I didn't even ask who else was playing or, you know, I just basically said, yes, I'm going to be there. I'm free. Yes, count me in, kind of a thing. And I saw that some of the arrangements that we were playing were done by Pablo Ziegler, who was Piazzolla's pianist. But only when I showed up to rehearsal did I realize that he was going to be there himself. So the rest of the group was, you know, kind of warming up and playing a few notes. The pianist was running late is all I knew. 10 minutes later, the pianist does walk in. I look up and I recognize Pablo and my jaw drops to the floor. So that was my first encounter with Pablo. And since then, we've done a couple of projects together. But that's when I really got deeply into performing that music.
That is an incredible story. And how beautiful that the thread is so long and so personal, right? And, you know, starting with your mom.
Yes, exactly. Yep.
I've been interested actually to speak with you about Piazzolla's music and playing Piazzolla because, you know, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago, there was this big sort of surge of his music being played by classical musicians. It was sort of the next sort of trend to refresh and loosen up the genre. And so there were many artists who sort of tried it on, you know, kind of like an outfit. But it seems to me that you have really dived into it. Can you speak more about being really inside tango? What is it at what isn't it?
Yeah, well, as far as one can put it into words, I think like all music also within the classical genre, one always has to consider the style of that time, of that period. For example, Bach, you're not going to play Bach like Rachmaninoff and vice versa. And Piazzolla, definitely one must understand its style. As you were saying, it was his music became popular so quickly that it's almost like, you know, people love the music and so they will play it, but maybe without having gone through the study of what that style might be. The interesting background about Piazzolla as a composer and even as a performer is that he wanted to be a classical composer in the more traditional sense. So he had studied with Alberto Ginastera and then Nadia Boulanger in Paris, who was really the one who, you know, who said, okay, well, that's great. You bring me these compositions and they're kind of in the style of, you know, this composer, that composer. But I really want to know who Piazzolla is. can you play a little bit of the music where you come from? And so the story goes that he was hesitant, but started playing some of the tango that he grew up with or some of his own compositions. And she said, well, this is you. You know, don't try to be the next Debussy or whoever. This is you. You got to embrace your identity. So Piazzolla's music or genre is real. I mean, he created this new genre of music called the new tango. So his tango is not the traditional tango from Argentina from the 30s or 40s. His tango is really a truly unique blend of the traditional Argentine tango, but with information from classical composers. I mean, his biggest influences were Bach, Brahms, Bartok, Stravinsky.
Oh, wow.
And even as a performer on the bandoneon, he was playing music by Mozart on the bandoneon when he was a kid. He grew up in New York, and one of his neighbors turned out to be a piano teacher. And I think it was through her that he learned about Stravinsky and Bartok and so on. So he really grew up with tango blood, but with a lot of classical music around him. And also growing up in New York in a neighborhood that was, there was surrounded by synagogues. And so he was also influenced by the music he heard walking past those synagogues. And so his music is truly a unique blend of all the things he grew up with. But then in terms of stylistic approach and performing his music, when it comes to the role of the violin, one really does have to study how they play the violin in tango music. And all these sound effects that are created on the violin, there are very specific techniques to make those work. And, you know, I by no means do I feel like I'm a Piazzolla music expert or anything like that. You know, I even have yet to visit Buenos Aires. I've never been there myself. And that's really been top of list for me on my bucket list for the longest time. But my love for that music is so deep. And I even did a school paper on it back in college on his music and his connection to classical music in general. So I, you know, I've always just been intrigued by this music. And as best as I can, I study tango musicians and tango violinists specifically. And, you know, I think the choice of where to slide, for example, between notes, those have to be done tastefully, just as we do in classical music. Just because something sounds romantic, you can't go sliding everywhere. and just because something is exciting, it's not a place where you take out your own enthusiasm. You still got to restrain yourself playing tango. There's a lot about timing that I think one can learn from that music, because it's not just about what you play, but it's also about what you don't play. You know, the timing between the moving notes and the silences that are there. And I think that's also in tango dance itself. But yeah, I don't know if that helps.
Absolutely. That actually is a nice segue to my next question, because I know in my own practice, having explored repertoire outside of the Western classical musical language, it has opened up different worlds, different awarenesses, and can be very freeing. Is it the same for you? Would you say the same thing about playing Piazzolla and tango?
I would definitely say so. I think that for me, it highlights the lack of conversations, at least in my schooling in classical music, of the importance of rhythmic character. I feel like we talk about, okay, are these two eighth notes? You know, is this a dotted rhythm? But we don't really talk about how we're going to execute that particular rhythm. And I think in jazz or in tango, it's all about how are you going to place that rhythm? It's, you know, it's all about bringing the music to life through rhythmicality. You know, in jazz, they talk about, okay, is this on the beat? Is it on the front side of the beat? Is it on the back side of the beat? That sort of thing. And I think that's very, very true of tango. You have very strict structures within which you can be free. But even that freedom comes from understanding the language of that specific genre. So thinking in that way, I think it definitely applies to then tackling music within the more traditional classical music language. And you know, and actually one thing that's become apparent to me is when you listen to a tango violinist, and then when you listen to a violinist in classical music, but from 100 years ago, let's say Heifetz or Misha Elman, those two in particular, their style of playing is closer. There's less of a gap than one would imagine. Because when you think, for example, specifically about Heifetz or Elman, they were really masters at playing around with timing. I mean, for me, you know, people talk about Heifetz as just the master at violin technique. But for me, his genius was truly his timing. And actually, there's very much correlation, I think, to how a tango violinist approaches the violin. I think today in classical music, we've become a little bit more, I don't know, for lack of a better word, correct,
mm-hmm.
kind of executing what's on the page.
It's
but
very,
maybe
like,
we're not
literal, would you say?
Literal, exactly. Whereas I think back in the day, one really considered the layers in between, the things that were not just literally on the page. And so it's interesting to find that connection as well between the tango style of violin playing and the old school style of classical music violin playing.
Now, you're bringing to the TSO Piazzolla's The Four Seasons of Buenos Aires. Tell us a bit about this work, which, of course, you know, the title evokes Vivaldi, but this is not that at all.
Exactly. You're absolutely right. So actually, there's no connection whatsoever between the two Four Seasons, except that the arrangement that we're playing is by Leonid Desnyatnikov, who was commissioned to arrange the original Four Seasons by Piazzolla into an arrangement for solo violin and string orchestra in order to pair with the Vivaldi's Four Seasons for an album that Guidon Kremer did, I don't know how many years ago. But so this particular arrangement was designed with the idea of juxtaposing it with Vivaldi. So there are quotes of Vivaldi in this arrangement, but that's not originally from Piazzolla. So the Vivaldi quotes are very cleverly woven into this arrangement, and I think it's done brilliantly. But it is a departure from the original version that Piazzolla had written for his quintet, which consisted of the bandoneon, violin, piano, electric guitar, and double bass.
For those who've never heard this work by Piazzolla, how would you describe it?
Yeah, well, I think the distinct language of Piazzolla is going to be very obvious in this work. You know, I think by now a lot of people will have heard Liber Tango, Oblivion. Piazzolla really has his own distinct language. And I think, I mean, the Four Seasons of Buenos Aires is very much Piazzolla. But yeah, as I mentioned, it's going to be a bit of a blend. And also the arranger gives some of the leaders a bit of a solo. So the cellist will have a bit of a solo, and it feels more like chamber music in that sense. But the emotional elements of Piazzolla's music, and the reason why I love his music, is because I do think there is something about his music that just really taps into a feeling of nostalgia. Yes, it's passionate. It's all those sort of like typical words you describe when you think of tango as a dance. You know, it's sensual. It's all those things. But I think what Piazzolla manages to capture in his music is really something very profound that one can listen to and feel sad also, and feel maybe alone. But then it's suddenly very exciting too. And then of course it's coming from a dance originally, so it does feel dance-like. And I think there's a wide range of emotions in his music, and I think the Four Seasons of Buenos Aires will portray that.
And what are you looking forward to about bringing this to Toronto and to the TSO?
Well, I'm always really excited about coming back to the TSO because I have a number of good friends. One of my absolute best friends is Rémy Pelletier, your principal viola player, and we've been saying that we're looking forward to playing this particular piece together on stage. I mean, I have such a long-standing relationship with the TSO, and so it's been a blessing over the years to come back with various repertoire. And as you said, last time was Mozart, but you know, in the past I've played all kinds of different things with the TSO. So Piazzolla will be new. It'll be a new flavor, and also it'll be with just the strings. And so I think it'll have even more of a personal feel to it, because it'll be a little bit more like chamber music. And I think for sure we're going to spend some time in rehearsals talking about some stylistic choices, and probably talking about how to create certain sound effects in this music. And I think there's going to be, for me as a soloist, more of an interaction with the musicians than I normally get to have, because even though Gustavo will be conducting this conductor, I think in a more traditional concerto, I usually really just kind of go through the conductor to, in the rehearsal process, to, you know, put a certain piece together with the orchestra. But I think this time is going to be a little more of a direct conversation, I think. So that'll be fun.
Well, we very much look forward to seeing you and to hearing you bring this repertoire that is so close to your heart to Toronto. Karen Comeau, thank you so much for taking time to speak with me.
Thank you very much.